Second scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Please listen for the word of the Lord. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Years ago, when my mom first started trying to get me to quilt, I told her I couldn't or wouldn't because I didn't have the patience. Quilting or any kind of sewing or crafting really takes a lot of patience. As it turns out, quilting has been a great teacher for me of patience. But there are times when I still rush through things. Occasionally, I'll turn up the speed on my sewing machine. My mom's sewing machine actually has the speed bar denoted. The speed has a tortoise and a hare. And inevitably, when I turn the speed up too much, what happens is that my thread all jumbles together, and it makes this horrible mess in my fabric. And then I have to take time to rip it out. Mom and I call our seam rippers Jack. Jack the Ripper. Quilting has taught me the value of slowing down. Many of us struggle with slowing down. And since we can barely imagine what it would be like to slow down, we have a hard time getting our heads around the idea of stopping entirely. Think of the term Sabbath. And while it sounds good in practice, most of us have a long way to go before we convince ourselves that Sabbath is actually an integral part of our faith journeys. Sabbath means rest. It's kind of like taking our spiritual temperature. The Hebrew word is sabbat, which literally means to rest. Sabbath is rest, but it's a special kind of rest. It's a holy rest. Sabbath is taking a break from the push and the shove of daily living and taking time to refresh yourself in Christ. Come to me, all who are weary. Jesus says this in our reading this morning, and I will give you rest. Jesus gives us this rest. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says from the Message translation, the Sabbath was made to serve us. We weren't made to serve the Sabbath. This rest, this chance to take a break and to rest in God. It takes many different forms and different people structure what their Sabbath looks like differently, but in every context, Sabbath is not meant to be a burden, but a gift. God created Sabbath for us. It is a gift that teaches us to be just a little bit less crazy busy and a little more like Jesus. Learn from me, Jesus said, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Often we have to learn to be gentle and humble of heart with ourselves before we can be gentle and humble of heart with others. There are times when I imagine this gift of Sabbath to be like that gift you get at Christmas or your birthday or another time when you get gifts and you have to pretend to be thankful for it. I can picture Jesus handing us this gift of Sabbath and we take it into our hands. I picture our response, oh, thank you for the Sabbath. I can't wait to use it. And then it gets put on the shelf or the back of a closet. Until one day we get the urge to purge, and there's that gift, still wrapped, still collecting dust. Maybe it's even been in there so long you can't remember who it's from or what it even is. And we have a pretty good sense, I think, of why it is that way. We are a people who grow up learning the value of productivity. We've become very good at equating rest with laziness. And we are a culture that thrives on speed. David and I were driving the other day, and I happened to glance at my speedometer, and I asked him, in what situation do you think I would ever have to go 140 miles an hour? There's just something about knowing that I could go that fast. But what situation? I was going the speed limit, don't worry, even on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Maybe if I was trying to outrun the zombie apocalypse, I don't know. We value speed. We value productivity. Canadian journalist Carl Henry, in his TED Talk in praise of slowness, goes so far as to say we are addicted to speed. We see time as a finite resource, and so we try to do more and more with less and less time. Stop for Sabbath? Have you seen my to-do list? We're busy people. I read an article last week about busyness. One park service had partnered with an art group to put up this giant bird's nest with enough room for two or three people. And they invited people to climb in and just relax for a moment. And one woman tweeted about it on social media, went on Twitter, and said, "Great idea to have this nest." And the park service tweeted back, "Well, did you get into the nest?" And she said, "Well, no, I was too busy." Ironic. And yet Jesus gives us Sabbath. Jesus gives us and expects us to use this holy gift. Sabbath is the gift that is meant to be opened and used as often as we can, as often as possible. The two most popular questions that I seem to get about Sabbath are, first, how do you Sabbath? And second, how often should you Sabbath? And I think we also need the reminder of why we Sabbath. Again, from our Deuteronomy reading, simply we observe the Sabbath because God tells us to. The whole Bible begins with this pattern of reflection, action, reflection. God hovers, God does, he creates, and then he rests. He overlooks things and reflects, and on the seventh day, he rested. And then God tells human beings to take a day for rest too. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's part of the Ten Commandments. In the Old Testament, the penalty for not observing the Sabbath, if you were caught breaking the Sabbath, the penalty was death, which sounds harsh, and I agree with you that it sounds harsh, but I also think it's not far from the truth. If you think about what happens to us when we don't get enough rest, when we don't allow our minds and bodies to slow down. When I don't rest, I become irritable. I don't sleep well, and that makes it worse. My poor husband. You may not die, but you won't feel great. And that affects your relationships too. We use this gift of Sabbath because we need a chance to be refreshed for our relationships with others, with ourselves, and with our God. The form of Sabbath, the how of Sabbath, can look different for everyone. In some cases, Sabbath is very structured. It's from sunset to sunset, and there are certain rules about what you can and cannot do. In the Christian tradition, Sabbath can be as structured or unstructured as you'd like it to be. Your Sabbath might be Sunday morning during worship, but it might not. As a pastor, I get a special day off during the week since I'm obviously busy on Sunday mornings. My Sabbath is Fridays, and I have learned to be fiercely protective of this day. Years ago, I noticed that I was spending too much time on my Sabbath thinking about all the things I could do to keep from resting. I would see the housework. I would see the things that needed to get done. Sabbath could wait. And so I started doing Sabbath road trips. That's how my quest of trying to see all the different presidential grave sites got started. For those of you that have been following that saga, it started with a Sabbath road trip to West Branch, Iowa, where I saw the gravesite and museum of Herbert Hoover, number 35. Also, there was a quilt store there and a coffee shop. It was a 3-hour drive, so I could literally not do any work. It was a time when I could spend time reflecting or listening to a podcast or an audiobook or just riding in silence, a gift. I heard a pastor say on a radio once, and some of you have heard me quote this before, sometimes you have to go apart before you come apart. That mantra will live in me forever. That mantra is why I protect my Sabbath. Sabbath for you might not be a road trip. Sabbath might be time at the park, walking around, enjoying the beauty and the stillness of God's creation. Sabbath might be a day with your family or a really good book. If I don't road trip, I like to take the Sabbath and take time to create something. That's when you'll find me in my sewing room. There might be physical activity involved in your Sabbath. I tend to be drawn to the more introverted ways, finding that time for solitude and silence. You might be drawn to spending time with friends and getting out there with others. The point is that we engage in something that refreshes our minds and our spirits, and that we take time from disengaging from that stuff that drains us. Personally, I'm enjoying longer Sabbaths by unplugging from social media, because lately I have found that to be incredibly draining. But remember that Sabbath isn't just another thing on your to-do list. Sabbath is a gift to let go of the to-do lists and to trust Jesus to help us create some space in our hearts and in our spirits and in our minds for the Spirit to bring us to whatever comes next. It doesn't mean that the stuff that we're worrying about or that the things we have to do will go away. They'll still be there. But sometimes we need that time apart to get a clearer focus. Sometimes the best way to deal with a problem or a to-do list is to step away from it for a bit. It becomes less overwhelming. Go apart before you come apart. Which brings us to that final question, which is how often should you observe the Sabbath? How long is a Sabbath? Is it from sunset to sunset, like our Jewish brothers and sisters? And which day is it? When I interned for the summer as a hospital chaplain when I was in seminary, one of the patients I saw made sure that I knew that he believed Sabbath was the seventh day, which on a calendar, he said, if you look, is Saturday. He was Seventh-day Adventist, and he believes that day one is Sunday, and so day seven must be Saturday. As Presbyterians, we look at how Jesus rose on the third day from Friday, Saturday, to Sunday. And so Sunday becomes the day that we set apart for worship. But honestly, the day doesn't matter. I like how Adam McHugh puts it in his book, Introverts in the Church. He writes, the Sabbath day is not an afterthought or a day tacked on the end, a mere poetic gesture. Even John Calvin, grandfather of the Presbyterian faith, said in his writings that interpretation of which day it is matters very little in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't matter when you Sabbath. What matters is that you Sabbath. What matters is that we accept this gift from God and actually use it. The Sabbath was made for us, not the other way around. What matters is that we actually put it to use to deepen our relationships, not just with ourselves and with others, but with our Creator. The length of the day doesn't matter either. John Calvin writes, Sabbath is not confined within a single day, but extends through the whole course of our life until we are filled with the life of God. Maybe you have a Sabbath for 5 or 10 minutes a day. Maybe it's 5 or 10 minutes a week. Maybe you have many Sabbath moments throughout your day, or maybe you are able to set apart a whole day to Sabbath, and you become fiercely protective of it. You can find Sabbath rest in the practice of saying no, when your plate is already full and your spiritual well already empty. My favorite writer, Barbara Brown Taylor, puts it best. In An Altar in the World, she writes, "At least one day in seven, pull off the road and park the car in the garage, close the door and the tool shed, and turn off the computer. Stay home not because you are sick, but because you are well." She says, talk someone into being well with you. Take a nap or walk. Take an hour for lunch. Test the premise that you are worth more than you can produce, that even if you spent one whole day being good for nothing, you would still be precious in God's sight. Jesus invites us to come to him. He invites us to sit for a spell and to simply remember, as the contemporary saying goes, that we are human beings and not human doings. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Sabbath is not just a commandment. It is a promise. And more than a promise, it is a gift for us to open, for us to treasure, to protect, and observe. As we spend the next two Sundays of our time together talking about Sabbath, I hope you find some space to create some Sabbath of your own. And if you don't, well, then may Sabbath find you. Amen.